Abe, thank you. Beautiful evening on the base of the Wasatch Mountains here in Utah, and it is a gorgeous view that we're looking at in front of us here at America First Field. Garth Lagerwey spent a lot of time here at RSL, and I know this is a road trip that you have been looking forward to, and now a little bit of a homecoming for you tonight. How does it feel to be back in this stadium?
It's really fun. There are a ton of positive memories. This is a very happy place. You know, won my first MLS Cup, not in this building, but with this team, really felt like we were the first team to take the Champions League seriously when we were here in 2010, 2011 with RSL, and, you know, really shaped the next decade of teams really, you know, looking globally and pursuing that and realizing that MLS is bigger than just, hey, playing the team down the street.
Well, whatever input you have with the schedule makers, see if you can get us back here once every maybe 2 or 3 years instead of 5, because this has been an enjoyable trip for us. Now, there was news this morning. The Thiago Almada transaction is now official. And I want to start, I guess, by congratulating you, because whenever you have an MLS record transfer, I think that's a very significant accomplishment for the club. And we'll get into some of the other questions about Almada's departure in a moment. But first, can you speak to just your level of satisfaction with the return that the club is getting for Thiago?
Yeah, look, I mean, it just dollars and cents. We sold him for, you know, 33% more than we paid for him, and he obviously had some exciting moments along the way. And you know, and not to undersell, you know, you're talking about the guy who was the newcomer of the year. He was the young player of the year. He was MLS best 11. You know, this is, you finished third in the MVP voting. I mean, these are not insignificant little things that happened kind of along the way. So won the World Cup with Argentina, you know, first, you know, and a bunch of those things are the first guy to do that. So I do give credit to my predecessors who signed, and including Carlos Bocanegra, obviously, who signed Thiago, and, you know, it wound up being a successful transaction for the club. And now our challenge is to go out and try to do even better the next time.
I think when you look at that and you're looking at how you do better the next time, you know, this is a big summer ahead for the club with the 9 position and the 10th position open. You know, how would you define bigger and better?
Look, I think, you know, and again, just look at my track record, right? We have signed, you know, the one thing that didn't work with a lot of the big signings that have happened has been, you know, it's been 5 years without making a deep run in the playoffs, making, you know, what I would call a title contending position. And I think that's what we have to improve upon. And this is going to sound almost trite, but we need to sign the best player we can. And that's not to say that, you know, Thiago literally finished third in the MVP voting, right? So,
right.
So clearly he was an excellent player. But what I mean is, can we sign someone that perhaps is, and we don't know yet, but perhaps is a little bit more experienced, maybe is a little bit better able to take on some of the leadership qualities where you talk about a franchise player, a cornerstone player, a guy you want to build around. Maybe someone who's invested in being here for as more than, hey, a step, a lily pad, so to speak, on the way to somewhere else. And look, there is no perfect profile. It's not to say we're going to sign one person in this age range at that spot. Like, you still have to go into the marketplace and be flexible. But I do think, because we work for Arthur Blank, and because by having had some profitable transactions now, trust me, I understand the fans don't care how much money we made on the transactions, but it's significant in the sense of we will now be able to take all of that, which is more than we had before, and plow that back into player acquisitions. And again, some of that might be this summer. Some of this might be over a couple of windows, because part of what we're doing is talking about building up this foundation of the club where we believe it's more sustainable, right? And we've had a couple of active windows in you know, the last two windows, and we haven't been able to put it together this year. But I do think now you're looking at another active window for us where we're trying to continue to build this foundation and really kind of reset for what hopefully will be sustainable long-term growth.
We asked you last week about the reports about Caleb Wiley. There's another report that's come out this evening. I don't really think there's anything too terribly new to it, but restating the report from last week that there were some talks ongoing between Atlanta United and Strasbourg. A number has now been reported. I won't ask you to get into specifics, but can you tell us in general where things stand with Caleb, who's going to be going to the Olympics after this MLS match?
Yeah, I was going to say, the good news is again, I'm going to repeat what I always tell you guys, which is that I will get concerned the first time that people stop talking about our players, because that means we don't have good players. We have good players, teams are going to want them. So that part is healthy and sound and nothing wrong with that. Second part is what you said. Caleb's going to go to the Olympics. That means he's one of the best young players in America. And if, you know, I'll give you a little data point. He's played in the top five in the world in terms of minutes for players under the age of 20 in terms of first team professional minutes. So, you know, this is a kid who's done tremendously well. And again, there will be a robust market for somebody like that, particularly as he heads into the Olympics. And so, you know, again, the chatter, the noise, just make sure you don't believe everything you read on the internet. But, you know, this is something where we have to look, and there's a potential MLS rule change. If it goes into effect, it would allow us to claim a much larger percentage of a transfer fee as GAM. I know I'm speaking a bunch of gibberish, but to our listeners out there, that means we can increase our salary cap.
Right.
So the salary cap, which is roughly $5.5 million plus these TAM dollars, and now we're adding the kids. So it gets really confusing, but suffice to say, you can increase your cap by between 25 and 40%. If you maximize this thing, if this new rule goes into effect. So that's how fluid this environment is. Caleb's here. He's going to the Olympics. We might change the rules. If we change the rules, then we might have to make a different investment decision. So other than that, there's not a lot going on.
If the rules change, I'm going to request an interview with you for Atlanta Soccer tonight to kind of get into that, because I think it's fascinating about building more cap space. And it's something that this league is a little unique, and you can actually grow your cap by making good moves. One way you can make those moves, you mentioned the foundation, is the foundation of bringing homegrowns up. And Caleb came through the Atlanta United 2 process getting games at 15. Noah Cobb got games at 15. He's played a ton of games this year. Cooper Sanchez signing this week, going to the twos for a year and a half. Then he'll be a homegrown. Matt Edwards, recent homegrown signing. That process of getting guys not just coming through the academy, but a strategic way of getting them games with the twos so they're more ready when they come into the first team. How would you feel that process has developed?
It is ongoing, and it's getting better. We hired a gentleman named Javier Perez to help us with our development space, our director of methodology, that'll get all these teams playing in the same method, training in the same method, so that when they get up to the first team, where they are more easily plug and playable. But what you just described is millions of dollars of players that we got for free, right? And again, we work for Arthur Blank, so we have this incredible infrastructure, both from a facility standpoint and the funding of the academy and the two standpoint. So because we have all this, and that's all stuff that's effectively off the books, right? There's no salary cap charge for having a good academy.
Yep.
So, and to me, it's incredibly important to do this too, because that's what helps us look like Atlanta. We're gonna get the best athletes. You look at the data, you know, the Georgia's, I think the one I read, number one per capita in professional athletes across MLB and NFL and NBA. If you now can expose some of that audience, some of those families who we want to be Atlanta United fans anyway, you know, if some of those kids want to play soccer, that could be a huge talent pool for us to tap. And you're seeing now in some of our younger academy teams already being able to get into and really leverage the entirety of the Atlanta community. And that's something that's incredibly important to us. And again, we have the resources to do stuff like that, that then gets them to us without having to go buy them for $1 million a piece from a foreign club.
So often in this league, I feel like we've seen the teams go one way or the other. It feels like you're blessed in a situation where you can grow your academy, develop great talent, but also go out and spend some dollars and bring guys in.
That's exactly right. The point of this is to do everything well, right? Mm-hmm. And I still think, like, you know, if you look at Columbus, that's probably the best example we have right now of doing everything well. And you know, you saw their second team won the title 2 years ago, was runner-up a year ago, and they're winning MLS Cups and competing for CONCACAF Champions Cup competitions. And look, that's what we aspire to be. We're not here to contend or to get better or to, you know, have a good season. We want to be the best team in the league, and that's the aspiration, and you have to hit on all of these levels in order to do it, and we believe we have the resources, the infrastructure, to have the capabilities. So not every team has the capabilities of doing all those things. We do, and that's why I think it's incumbent upon us now to prove that we're going to go out and do it.
I do want to ask you about an incoming Pedro Amador. That was announced on Monday. Tell us a little bit about Amador, and he comes from Portugal. He's got a good pedigree. What do you like about him?
We wanted to have a left back, honestly, so that we had someone that was a little bit different profile than Caleb. Caleb, obviously, he's still young, right? Like, he might ultimately be a left winger, or he might be a wing back. So Pedro's a little bit more of a traditional left-sided fullback, probably best suited to a back four, could also play in a back five, but not a hybrid center back type, like more, you know, a true outside back. Someone who we hope would be steady, reliable. It's a good value based on the league he was playing in. So we think this is one where this is a money ball signing, where we went out and we got somebody that we think is the right age, at the right position, at the right time, right value. that, again, hopefully we keep building out the depth of the team.
You mentioned it's going to be a busy summer, and you've got a lot of capital to work with right now. In the short term, tonight, Atlanta United has no designated players available because Dean Gregerson's on yellow card accumulation, and obviously two have departed. So take us through your mindset now for the short term, because there are fans wondering, those are two really big spots that need to be backfilled. I get the sense, though, you're not going to want to rush and do something maybe that's too far ahead of the pace that you want to go with, right?
Yeah, look, and what I would say one quick thing, one quick note is both Sleash and Saba are DP-level players.
Level. Yeah, right.
From a contract perspective. Yeah. We set it up to rotate. Saba was last year, Gregerson's this year, Sleash will be next year. But as we cycle through those, so it's not like we are bereft of talent all of a sudden.
No, that was not my suggestion.
Yeah. No, I know that's not what you meant, but I want to point that out to our fans that we are thoughtful enough not to put all of our eggs in just one or two baskets. And look, you know, I would also add, too, that if you look at the combination of Rios and Tiari's hurt tonight, but if you look at our production from the starting forward spot with and without Yakimakis, it's actually pretty similar in terms of goals per 90 minutes.
Nine goals.
So all to say, you know, we mean to practice what we preach. We try to build a foundation. We try to build depth. Is that as sexy and exciting as having Gigi up there saying "boom Yakimakis" every once in a while? You know, that's I give you. It's not that, but yes, we're going to look to continue to build the team. We're looking to do things in the summer if we can. You know, we're looking at guys that are playing Copa America, playing in the European Championships. These are guys that are playing at the very highest levels of the sport. And if we can recruit these guys to come in, and I think, you know, we are trying to sign the type of player that historically has not come to MLS before. If we can, we're going to try to sign players that aren't 35 years old. And that's not a knock on any of the guys that are coming at that age. I think that they have, in particular in some of the markets, that maybe have to have a star player. But what we get to do, because we live in Atlanta, we have the fan base we do with all the support we have, both from ownership and from our fans, we get to go sign the best player. And that sounds like a really simple thing to do. It's really hard in practice because you get pulled all these different ways. But at the end of the day, if we can come out of this window with one or two players that we think are the best players at their position, that's going to make our team a whole bunch better. And look, we believe that we can be a playoff team this year. But are we going to climb all the way to the top of the mountain in the next 16 games? I think the math is a little bit challenging, right? But if you think about it, if you can go through the summer, if you can address all these things or a lot of them, now maybe you are set up for get in the playoffs and then maybe you make a run. Maybe we're the Miami Heat from a couple of years ago or something like
that. Well, and look, I mean, we're on a really long road trip right now. You got to go to Montreal next weekend. So the schedule is backloaded with home games. There's a lot in front of this team that could be very positive. And I'm still okay with Sabotage and Unleash the Sleash, by the way.
There we go. I'm not giving up on you either, Mike.
I will admit, I was crushed when Yorgos left for reasons other than just seeing him depart from the team. But it's all good. Garth, thank you for your time. And hopefully we'll see you on Tuesday up in Kennesaw. We're looking forward to that one.
Absolutely. And I want to mention one benefit, because season tickets are going on sale at some point here in the next couple of weeks. And I did want to talk just real briefly about how we are going to add a benefit now where season ticket members are going to be able to look at the schedule ahead of time and say, hey, you know, maybe I can't make this, maybe I got family in town or something like that, and they'll be able to sell. There'll be a window where they can sell their tickets back to the club. So we're going to try to do that as a service to really continue to grow the value of our season tickets and our season ticket memberships. We're excited about that in terms of adding to our talent, not just on the field, but to the options our fans have off the field.
All right, that is a really great benefit, actually, because, it's hard. When you have 17 games and some are on weeknights, and as you said, some are during summer vacation and everything like that. So I would say that's very, very good news for season ticket holders, and hopefully good news for people who can have access to the tickets that are being sold back as well. All right, Garth, good to see you, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, let's go back to Abe and Garrett in Atlanta.